Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sorry. I'm so happy to see your faces today. And if you're joining us online, we are just as honored to have you too take some time out of your weekend to be here with us for worship today. It is wonderful to see all of these faces, some new faces. If you are joining us for the first time or the second time or the 100th time, we are so honored that you are here today. It is just amazing to look out and see people sitting in these chairs. I don't know how. I'm overwhelmed, so I'm so happy to see you. Gosh, I hope that you have survived this week. I've heard stories of friends helping friends and those in need and still helping friends for those in need. And I hope that things that your homes are starting to thaw back out and come back to normal. And I think at our house, we're finally back in all the normal thawing of the pipes. So I hope the same for you all. And it's so good to see you. Let's take a moment now and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you. Join me now in these words for our call to worship. Let us worship God who has done great things.
We rejoice in our God who made a way.
Let us worship God, who has caused streams of mercy to flow in the wasteland.
We are the people God has formed through Christ. We worship and we rejoice.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. We praise God for the grace that has saved us. Alleluia. We rejoice.
Please pray with me. Dear God, it is just so joyful to have people back in your building, to have the church back within these walls, to see the faces of the people we hold so close to our heart, God, and to hear each other while we're worshiping. God, you are great, and your love amazes us each day. continue to fill our hearts with joy and remind us just how great you are, even in the small and still moments, God. Amen.
I'm excited. It is children's time, and boys and girls, we're going to stay in our seats for just a little bit longer, but I was wondering how, and if you're at home, please join us for children's time today. Gather around your TVs and your computers. I'm so glad to have you as well, and I was thinking about our first children's time back in the building where I would see some of y'all, and I wanted to do a little bit of an interactive children's time today. So in your worship bags, you should have three little cards that are on cute little sticks. If you have those in your bags, I hope they're in there. Go ahead and get those out. You'll need those for children's time today. And boys and girls, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Lent. We have just started into, this is our first Sunday of Lent. And it's kind of a phrase that we don't talk about all the time in Sunday school. And I wanted to go over it with you. And it's the period of time, the 40 days or so, that we remember as we're leading up to Good Friday and Easter. And so what does Lent look like for us as children? And I thought, well, this will help us today with our little cards. And so your first card, it has a monkey on it and it has a stop sign. Y'all get that out. This is your stop. So during Lent, I want us to stop. Do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about being statues if you were watching the TV? I talked about, we played this game when I taught kindergarten and we'd play the statue game and you'd get still and it was quiet. Well, I thought about the statues again when I saw my stop sign. And during this period of Lent, I invite us, boys and girls, to take a moment and be still. You guys are busy, and you're blowing, and you're going all day long, every day. I watch you. But in these quiet moments when you stop, that's when we can invite God into our life and to speak to us. And that leads you to your second card. Oh, no. Yeah, your second card is to look. Pull out your second one that has a little eyeballs on it. See, it says look. During this time, I want you to stop and I want you to look. One, I want you to look at those Bible verses in your beautiful Bibles that you've gotten if you're first and second and third graders. I want you to look and watch your Pastor Jake when he's preaching. I want you to watch your Sunday school teachers and your preschool praise teachers when you go back. And I want you to look at all of the beauty that is around you and see the things that God has done in the quiet when you are still. And your last little card, I want you to pull it up. It's a cute little happy face, and he's got his hand to his ear, and it says, listen. And during this time, I want you to stop, look, and listen. I want you to listen for God's voice. This is the time where we can pray and actually ask God to speak to us, because God has plans for us, boys and girls, and he has plans for each and every one of you. And when we stop and we look and we listen to what God is saying to us through our parents, through our teachers, through the sermon, through your children's time, I know that you will hear God speaking to you and God directing you in the path. And during this 40 days, boys and girls, I encourage you to take some time, maybe with your families on the Wednesday nights when I send home some Lent reflections, or maybe when you get home from school, maybe turn off your iPad and turn off your TV and think about what beautiful things you saw during the day and what things that you could pray for with your friends and your family. So let's take some time during this Lenten season, boys and girls, to stop, to look, and to listen for what God has in store for you in the next 40 days and beyond. I am so excited to see your faces. I am so honored that you came today. And for those of you that are home, I miss you and I love you so much. And if you want your own stop, look, and listen for Lent, I've got plenty. And I would send one to you if you had your parents send me a message. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for these beautiful faces. Thank you so much for these families and for what they mean to Second Baptist Church. God, as we go through this Lenten season, I ask you to especially speak to these children. Let them know how special they are, how loved they are, and what great and awesome plans you have for each and every one of them. Be with their families. Keep them safe. If they are away from here, help them to know that they are loved and appreciated just as much as everyone here. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. Be with us as we journey to the cross over the next 40 days. In your name we pray. Amen. If you are going to preschool praise, Miss Donna is at the back, and she is ready to greet you and take you back with her.
Today's psalm reading comes from Psalm 25, 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame, let them be ashamed who are all wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for my goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me now for our litany of confession? In the season of Lent, O God, we say lofty words about renewing our spiritual disciplines. Forgive us, O God, if our actions are vain. If we have twisted this season of penitence into a reason for praise or judgment. Forgive us, O God, and wash us in your mercy. Forgive us, O God, and free us to try again. Would you stand, please?
Close by you to stay. As you
Today's gospel reading comes from Mark 1, 12-13. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
And sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There were times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've seen thousands of faces, but there were times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know.
Jazzy. I like it. Wherever and however you may be joining us for worship, what a gift, what an honor, what a pleasure your presence is. May the Lord be with you and keep you always. As we begin this season of Lent, this journey to the cross and to the resurrection, I apologize, for you will not like what's about to be said. I don't know of anyone that will enjoy what is about to be said, and it is not my job to tell you the things that you like. I do not wear deodorant. I own some very cheap cologne, but 350 days a year, I see no point in covering up my smell with more fake smell. I remember being in fourth grade. Fourth and fifth were together in intermediate school, as we called it. Fourth grade, walking by the library. You see, the boys and the girls were separated. The fifth grade boys went into the library with the coach, and the fifth grade girls went into the music suite. Walking by the library that had these immense windows, they covered the windows with these temporary partitions. And yet there was this glow on the other side of the windows that came from a television this deep and a VHS player. And there was rumors at lunchtime about the salacious material that coach covered with the fifth grade boys. And me and all the fourth graders wondered, will they finally explain what the leg lamp in A Christmas Story really means? And it was a year later, and I was a big man on campus. And don't you know, in valor and in courage, I ventured beyond those partitions for a multi-hour presentation in the library. And it took hours for a very awkward coach to explain to us boys that we were getting older, that our bodies were changing, and that we needed to wear deodorant. Yeah. We were given a comb for free. We were given a toothbrush for, well, your tax dollars paid for that. And at the end of the presentation, we were allowed to make a choice, a decision. We could choose a travel-sized speed stick and a perspirant or an original scent Old Spice deodorant. I was a late bloomer, as you're still hoping that someday I'll bloom. I was a late bloomer. I didn't shave until college, really, not that I really needed to. But later in life, I learned that this veiled attempt of putting things under my underarms didn't really cover up the smell that much. It didn't. In fact, adding to boot, you know, other elements like aluminum and others really weren't all that great for you. And it just felt like I smelled, and now I have another smell to add to the equation. Yeah. So I stopped 15 years ago. I stopped spending $5 a month on deodorant. I'll also let you know it's been 10 years since I have washed my hair, but that is another point for another sermon, and we'll save that one. Surely you won't be coming back for that now, will you? And I admit that this reality is most of all inconvenient for Allison. Yeah. It is. It is inconvenient for Allison, particularly because everyone at our home right now smells. I smell, the girls smell, the dog smells, and Allison is like a hound. She can smell anything. I broke my nose several times playing soccer once due to my younger brother. You'll never get that story in a sermon. My sniffer really doesn't work, which is convenient for me considering the life choices that I have made. They say that dogs categorize smell. Have you ever seen a sommelier smell the glass and tell you the vintage? Get out of town. Yeah, smells really all that, maybe not all that important to me. However, not that I've seen all or not that I know all, but I have been blessed a little bit in my life to see some neat parts of the world. Growing up, we spent summers in Los Angeles with friends and with church throughout the years. I spent extended periods of time in Ukraine, in Haiti, and in Nicaragua. And one of the things that I have learned in my limited travels is people smell. One of the things that I have learned as being a part of this church now is you smell. You do. One of the best parts of traveling is not history, in my opinion. One of the best parts of traveling is not to see the sights. At least this is my opinion. One of the best parts of traveling is the food. Can a brother get an amen? It's the food. It's incredible. The borscht and the kvass in Ukraine is incredible. The gallo pinto in Central America is to be had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. Yeah, the mangoes, yeah, and the spicy coleslaw in Haiti will blow your mind. If you ever find yourself in Los Angeles, make sure that you eat ceviche fish tacos. This will be your salvation. You're welcome. It's the food, and scientifically speaking, this is proven fact. Scientifically speaking, we smell like our food. We smell like our food. So I am smelling right now a lot of cheese dip, a brisket, and chicken tenders. Yeah. People smell. You smell. Your favorite dive bar has a smell. Your favorite hole in the wall restaurant, it has a smell, right? And this is the conversation you have with yourself before you go to said restaurant. Is it worth smelling like this? Do I have clothes on that it's okay to smell like this for a few more days? And part of you may not be tracking with me at all this morning, and that's fine, but please hear this. An initial step of spiritual growth is simply the awareness. I have a smell. I have a smell. Yeah. An initial step for white people, brothers and sisters, is to admit that whiteness is a thing. It's how we engage reality. That white is not neutral. It is like a smell. If we are to grow, if we are to learn, if we are to be transformed, we are first possibly to begin by admitting that we have a smell, that we have a way that we engage the world. Yeah. Psalm 25 in verse 6 says, "Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and your steadfast love, for they are from of old." Your love and your mercy, O God, are from of old. Olam in the Hebrew, it's a wonderful word. The lowest possible denominator is the translation old. Okay? In our culture, there's a little bit of young good, old bad, right? In the Hebrew mind, it's nearly the opposite, right? Old good, young bad. I'm looking at some people who might like to be Hebrew. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah. Now, in our culture, there is some sense, if you've been old enough for long enough, you can be cool again. For this we all have hope, do we not? Yeah. Olam is an incredible word. Translated old, some in English. Many commentators suggest that this word means ancient. This word means everlasting. Some commentators go as far to say, and this is the incredible aspect of poetry in the Hebrew language, is these words have such much wider meanings that this word can also connote the idea of future. It is ancient and it is future. The late, great Robert Weber suggests that this is the framework for all of Christian worship, all of Christian spirituality, is this practice of that which is ancient and that which is future at the same time. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. The next verse, verse 7 says, "Lord, do not remember the sins and the transgressions and the brokenness of my youth." And the psalmist here is not trying to really speak to age at all. This word is a more simple word. It means childlike. Having spent considerable part of quarantine with children, here is their lexicon. Me, now, no, mine. This is the language of our childhood. And yet God, the psalmist is not trying to say, to be youth is bad. Mason, you did a wonderful job. It was incredible. Thank you for reading a scripture this morning. Our youth are incredible in this world. We have such great hope for these people, for these humans that are leading us in new ways. The scripture is not saying youth necessarily bad. The scripture is saying come to that which is deeper. Come to that which is fuller. Come to that which is fuller, that which is not bound by time, that which is ancient and future. This is the love and the mercy of God, ancient and future. Our men and I, our Amish brothers and sisters, there are some Mennonite communities here in West Texas, you may know, and I may butcher some of this, but I think there's some incredible Mennonite communities, maybe towards Seminole. The Mennonite tradition is an incredible tradition with deep emphasis on family, on scripture, and nonviolence. Each of these are to be commended in and of themselves. I will tell you the only reason why Pennsylvania should be allowed to be a state is because the Amish and Mennonite food is incredible. So if you go to Pennsylvania, find yourself eating this incredible, incredible food. And there is this practice within these Amish and Mennonite traditions known as Rumspringa. It is a great word to say. Can you say it with me? Rumspringa. What did you learn today at church today? I don't know, but I can say a word and it sounds like a cuss word, but it's okay. Rumspringa. Rumspringa means jumping around. And it is a tradition and it's practiced in different ways in different communities and different families. But essentially, at about age 16, Amish and Mennonite youth at about age 16 are given 2 years to go and to do and to fly and to taste and to see. You may employ technologies. You may enjoy all sorts of other things that would otherwise be discouraged. It is 2 years of what is behind door number two. Yeah. And at the end of these 2 years, at the end of Rumspringa, these young people are invited back to the community to decide, will you receive baptism? Will you rejoin in our community? Or not. It's an incredible tradition in which all is put on the table for you to choose. Yeah. And certainly no community is perfect, and there is plenty of room for improvement and inclusion and introspection for Amish and Mennonite communities, and certainly that sort of mentality begins here. There's plenty of room for improvement within our tradition, isn't there? But I find this opportunity of Rumspringa fascinating. It reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, as some of us may refer to it. It might be better entitled The Prodigal of the Loving Parents. For it is the parents who put all on the table for the children to have. All of the inheritance, all of the love, all of the potential is placed on the table and given to the sons and said, you decide. You decide how do you want to live. Which I think this is peeling back the layers into the heart, into the true presence of God to say, God sets everything on the table. All of the inheritance of the divine is set upon the table before us. And the Lord says, what do you want to eat? How do you want to live? In what ways do you want to smell? It seems that this is the path towards the most deep and intimate of relationships. It's all placed before us. And one young person near the end of Rumspringa reminisced. He said, I woke up at about noon. I was reeking of cigarettes, cheap booze, and fake French cologne. I rolled over in my bed and I had Doritos for breakfast. And I suddenly remembered what my family had for breakfast that very morning. Figs, fresh bread, and eggs that were gathered that morning. He said, I threw away my prepaid cell phone and walked 20 miles back home. What do you want to eat? How do you want to live? What do you want to smell like? Our gospel this morning in the lectionary says that Jesus ventures into the desert for 40 days. Now, this may be unexpected, but it is a similar and, I believe, valid commentary. What do you think Jesus smelled like after being in the desert for 40 days? Maybe you have been without water. Maybe you have been without power for the last week or so. And we pray with and pray for you, with and for our brothers and sisters across this nation who have struggled, certainly. And I know that we are a community that doesn't just pray, but we put action with our prayer. And I believe we're responding in incredible ways even now. But what do you think Jesus smelled like after 40 days in the desert? We tell an incredible story of the birth of Jesus, who enters this world in a manger surrounded by animals. What do you think Christmas really smelled like that first morning? Jesus and his earthly father, Joseph Carpenters, meaning those who work with their hands. These are construction workers. What do you think they smelled like? Yeah, Jesus spent most of his time with poor fishermen. What do you think the Savior's squad smelled like? And on the night before he was betrayed and executed, Christ the Lord bent over on hand and on knee and washed the feet of said fishermen. What do you think that smelt like? Which all suggests to me that Jesus does not avoid, but rather enters in to all the complexities of the human aroma. Yeah. Yeah. In the cartoon of Hamlet, the epic tale that we call The Lion King, Pumbaa, the warthog, is honest that in his youth, His smell is a source of shame and guilt in his life. In his youth, this is what he reveals. And yet as he grows as a person, he changes his diet, right? He grows in loving relationship, but a warthog by any other name is still a warthog. A warthog by any other smell smells just as sweet as a warthog, does it not? And yet as he grows, most of all, it is in his self-awareness that he has the opportunity to choose unending joy, that ancient future love, that ancient future mercy, not choosing the guilt and the shame, that which his smell might put off. Yeah. And so we too can change our behaviors and change our diets. We too, yes, certainly need to grow in loving relationship. And yet I think maybe as we begin this Lenten journey, I think one just simple task is to let go just a little. To let go just a little of the illusion that we don't smell. To let go of the idea that there aren't things within our lives and within our souls that are festering. There is a sweetness to be tasted. There is a sweetness to be tasted that will produce a smell within us far greater than envy, right? Far greater than regret, far greater than frustration, far greater than resentment. Yeah. In one of the creation stories in our scriptures, in Genesis 2, it says that the divine takes the human one, Adama, the wider word, not male or female just yet, that the divine takes the human one and breathes life into the human one through the nostrils. It is only at this point in Genesis 2, it is when the divine breathes life in through the nostrils, it is then that the human one becomes alive. So will you take some time to grow in the awareness of your own smell? Will you take some time to let go of some of that which is childlike and instead receive that which is ancient and future? Can you imagine what the garden outside of an empty tomb smelled like? Can you imagine the blossoms of flowers and the blowing of a wind that Easter Sunday morning? Can you imagine what it smelled like? You see, I believe that God smiles. I believe that God smiles when the divine gets a whiff of you. Amen. As you may be able, we invite you to stand and continue to worship. If we can be of help to you, if we can respond now or any other time that may be appropriate, I hope that you would let us know.
Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the freedom that allows us together here to come and listen, understand, learn. With all our getting, help us get understanding. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for Jake Maxwell and his family and his leadership through it. For the city of Lubbock, management, and all we have been through and through it. We have many people who suffer here, but there are many people not too far from us who suffer far more. We'd ask that you give all of us strength and hope and courage. We'd ask that you bless these gifts. We ask that when we run, we not get weary. And when we walk, we do not faint. Thank you again for our many blessings for Second Baptist. Forgive us where we fail you. Amen.
stand, please.
But that one encourages a little bit of movement. Thank you so much for joining us. You are a gift. You are a blessing. It is by the goodness of God that all was created. And it is the grace of God's Spirit that has kept us even until this very moment. And it is the perfect love of God that smells so sweet, fully revealed in the face of Jesus. It is by that love you are being redeemed. Go in peace, my brothers, my sisters, and my friends. Amen.